It was all a dream. I used to read Wizard magazine. Marvel versus DC. I don't wanna fight no more, y'all. Check this out right here.
Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 454. The gang is back together.
We're all here, man.
We have a returning guest star. I think you've been demoted from series regular.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it happens. You
might
know,
be shot in the first scene. Like,
no, no. No, we wouldn't do that. That would be rude. That was last week. We talked about rudeness. So, I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are
Dave,
Pat,
Mike,
Spencer,
Brandon.
And it's been an exciting week here. Not really. It's been a week. It's St. Patrick's Day. Very exciting.
Is that why everybody's wearing green?
That is why everybody except you is wearing green, Mike.
What the hell's on my shirt? If he's not green.
Okay, I'll give you that. Okay.
That's green as
okay,
I got.
But still a black shirt. So. Spencer. Well, I guess Spencer's going Northern Ireland with the orange.
Oh, okay. That works.
Dave's wearing... no. Nice try, though.
Not really.
Okay. Shocked Pat Kelly is wearing green. Shocked.
I'm wearing shocked. My baby Yoda green socks.
You are out of control, sir.
Oh, I do have green socks on.
Oh, do you? Okay. Okay, you win. You got anything? You got nothing, Brandon?
Nothing green.
Oh, man.
Have a green cookie.
Yeah, Chris brought those. So, yeah, was there any news? I can't honestly not remember any news. I spent the weekend with my kids and just all out of whack, out of sorts. Not reading anything. I did read previews though, so that made me happy. What?
You got previews already?
I just read through it. Normally, I tend not to read through it until the day before it's due. It's like so. At least this time, I went through at least once. So.
Well, the reviews for the Snyder Cut seem
yeah.
to be quite
yeah.
positive so far.
So we'll see.
Find out tomorrow.
That is tomorrow.
Does anybody know what time it goes live?
No.
3 a.m. Eastern.
Okay. Okay, I'll be up to watch. So that's from what, 3 to 7 you can watch?
Yep.
Okay, yeah, I'll be good. Yeah. Yeah. I'll just be like WandaVision and just not look at my phone.
So there was the memo about EFTs.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. And then somebody sold the memo as an EFT or NFT. Yeah.
Huh? NFT, thank you.
Yeah.
NFT. Non-fungible tokens.
Yeah.
It's like a blockchain thing. So
you can sell digital images
okay.
of things, and DC came and said to all freelancers that they can no longer do commissions and convention sketches and things.
Yeah. That they're...
Yeah.
They make way more money doing that than they
right.
do the books.
Right. Yeah. But then, so somebody then sold an NFT of the memo that was leaked. So, yeah, we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. I honestly don't think they can do that. Just like I think you just wouldn't have artists willing to work for you, especially if Marvel's like, oh, that's not our policy. You know?
Yeah. Sorry. Just getting that out of the way. So yeah, that whole thing just to me seems silly, but what do I know?
The thing to do if you were DC is to say, we will pay you to, you know, do the file rather than, you know, you have to do it on your own.
Well, I think it's more a case of they want to control every image of every character they have.
Do they right. know they live in a digital world?
Oh, that's what they're going for. That's
oh, yeah,
where they want to leave.
Have they ever heard of, like, Etsy and other places like that sell this stuff like crazy with no copyright?
Well, this would just be a really hard thing to enforce.
At this point, the cat's out of the bag. You can't put it back in. You can't. It's impossible.
Let the cat out of the bag. What are you doing, Mike?
But with the
you don't put
with
cats
we know
in bags.
Mike doesn't like cats. Remember?
That's true.
The thing is, with the NFT, it's I think it's more traceable because there's only a single owner for the.
Yeah, but you can.
How?
I mean, if you watermark it, you can remove watermarks. There's so many different things you can do to digital images.
That... Right, but that's why these NFTs are so special because they're. You know,
no,
blockchain,
well, like,
whatever.
Like you said, DC's just taking a gun, shooting themselves in the foot again.
I think they wouldn't have much of a foot left by now.
I don't even think they have a foot.
That is a very good point.
Sad to say.
And was it this week that they announced a Bendis is doing a Checkmate book?
They announced he's going to be finishing that Checkmate book. That
from 2 years ago.
Yeah, that was from the...
I thought that was...
Event Leviathan. No, that was... they're finally finishing the Event Leviathan story that's taken a very long break that nobody was enjoying, so... Well, I'm sure somebody was enjoying. I was not particularly enjoying it.
Can't wait to pick that up.
I had excitement going in, and then it kind of sputtered.
So is that going to be digital only?
No, not that I know of. As far as I know, that's a print one. Yeah, so we'll see. I got nothing else. I don't remember anything else going on. I don't. I'm tired.
Playing daylight savings time.
Yeah. Well, part of it was I haven't quite recovered. Monday I had a dentist appointment, and I'm like, oh, I had to get a cavity filled. So let's get it out of the way early so then I can, you know, get on with the rest of the day. So I did it for 8 a.m., but sadly that really became 7 a.m., and that's not a real time. That's a fine time to get up. That's not a fine time to be somewhere. So that wasn't good, and then I had to wait for the numbness to wear off to get the caffeine in, and just, yeah. So Monday was not good, and yeah. Tuesday was good, though. So here we go. You ready? Dave, what'd you read?
I have a question.
Oh, you have a question. I'm sorry. Come we didn't get any questions. So I was bypassing the question, as I thought it would be funny to ask Dave the books that he literally read 5 minutes ago.
Well, then he should have a problem remembering.
That's right.
So can I read my question?
Yeah,
we
got absolutely no responses to that, and I did put right at five. I did.
You're not gonna like this question, so don't listen. What is the price point you consider to be too high for a month-to-month comic? Would too high a price per issue cause you to change your buying habits?
Just like a standard issue.
Just Batman or Spider-Man.
But I mean like normal, just like the normal.
Just a regular, regular issue.
$2.99.
I'd like to say $2.99, but I mean we bought Batman for $3.99 for the past 4 years.
Yeah.
Twice a month.
My problem was $2.99 was a non-issue. Oh, this was really good. Oh, I'll give it a shot.
Yeah.
Now, oh, it's $5.99. Now, just for an example, that Captain America Anniversary Tribute Edition came out today, and I sold out, and everybody was asking for it. And I said, well, my problem was I had two people request it at FOC, and it's a $7 book, and I can't afford to get stuck with extra copies of a $7 book. So
there's a book on the shelf this week that came out. It was $7.99. From Image, and it's like a horror.
Yeah, but now that, give that one credit. That. It's a big, thick book.
But
the Marvel one wasn't.
I looked at the price of $7.99, and mm-hmm. I go, not doing it because I don't know if it's good.
Right.
If it's $4.99, $5.99, mm-hmm. I'm more willing.
No, I get it. I get it.
I picked that one up because it was like big, it's thick, it's square bound. I'm like, oh, this is just basically two issues. $7.99 is not bad. So, plus the art was cool. But yeah, I think if you're talking about a regular 22-page issue, I think $4.99 is like
that's wrong.
That's
yeah.
It's gonna be really hard to go up above that.
Yeah.
The other thing is, what happened to change?
Mm-hmm.
Like what happened? What happened
not
four to 4.25?
Yeah. What happened?
Nobody would blink at 4.25.
Yeah. Well, it went from 225 to 250 to 299 to 399. There was never a 350. Dark Horse did a little bit, but there really was never a 350.
Because they were afraid of Loch Ness monsters.
K-50.
Okay. But yeah, I don't know why they didn't do that. But what do I know? Mongo is just a pawn in the game of life.
Yeah.
They don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
They just do dollar jumps.
The other thing is, like, I still feel like there should be more of a variety of, like, paper stocks and things like that to, like, try to control
those costs. I honestly don't
think
that makes enough of a difference per issue. From my understanding, like, somebody, when Alterna came out and was doing newsprint, yeah. I remember some publisher saying, it's a negligible price difference between newsprint and the regular comic paper. So that's not why they're doing them for a dollar. It has nothing to do with the paper quality or the, you know, content.
But whatever money they save, just say they use a lesser quality, they're not going to pass this on.
No, not at all. Look at Marvel, where they stopped using cover stock.
Yeah, they use the inside paper.
Yeah. Well, it's not even the inside paper. They just don't put a cover on the book anymore. It's just, they actually remove four pages. It's just, it's starting at page one, you know, the printing process. Yeah.
And the other thing they used to do, I know I'm old, but they used to have advertisements in comics. There are no
I'm sure they would love to have advertisement in comics, but they can't find people to advertise in the comics. I think that's the problem.
Or they're not even trying.
Possibly, but I think like once they lost like the video games, I think maybe the video games didn't find enough return. Because it used to be all video games and candy and clothes, you know, yeah. Gap and...
Hostess free pies.
Yeah, but I think it's more a case of they can't get people to pay for those ads.
I feel like they should have a classified ads auction kind of thing where you go to a website, you pay to, you know, here's the classified ad I want to run, I'm willing to pay X amount, mm-hmm. and the people who are willing to pay the most get it run the most, and, you know, you have on the, you know, on the very back page your...
I don't even think that department probably even exists anymore at some of these companies.
I think that's a big part of it. I think they literally don't have, guys who are just trying to sell ads.
But I also think in general, you know, newspaper ads are struggling, magazines are struggling, so I think print ads are just in general are hard right now.
Yeah. But there's so many companies that are they have an advertising budget, and if they don't spend it, they lose it. And if you get an ad exec calling them up saying, hey, you want to get in comics? And the guy says, oh, well, I got $8,000 as my budget. Mm-hmm. What can I get? Mm-hmm. But unless you have somebody working the phones to get those ads, you're not going to do it. Mm-hmm. So the question becomes, is it worth it for that, you know, to get a guy, pay him $50,000 a year to do that job? The answer is probably no. So.
Oh, breaking news. First look, or it was 2 days ago. Breaking news 2 days ago. Jeff Lemire returning to Spiral City this summer with Black Hammer Reborn.
So. That's good news.
I feel like there's more Black Hammer titles now than there ever was.
He's trying to cut back, he said. He doesn't want to be doing the expanded universe.
Because there's four at the same time right now, because we're still... Next week we're getting Barbalian. Last week was the...
Visions.
That's really hard to read quickly. It's like, what the hell is that saying?
Yeah, it's all-star cast.
Yeah.
But this one, yeah, Jeff Johns wrote that one. Okay.
Did you read that one, Dave?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Guest of honor.
Well, are we done with that? Are we done with the price question?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't want to cut you off, Mike. I know that was your baby.
Why are you giving me a question, Colin?
I didn't realize. Raise your hand next time.
It's only been 6 weeks in a row I've asked a question.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay. I know you're old, you don't remember things, but it's okay.
Wow.
It hurt.
He won't remember next week.
Dave, what did you just read?
I literally just read two, I'm going to steal these two from Mike, I think.
No, it's all good.
I didn't read them. I got it.
The Wrong Earth, Night and Day, number 3, which was excellent.
Yes.
So, number 1, they're on Earth Zeta.
Yes.
And number one of Earth Zeta, who says he's the Prime, number 1?
He's the Prime. He's more like, he reminds me of the Lex Luthor of the number 1s. He's the super intelligent one.
He has he's captured both Dragonfly and Dragonfly Man.
Yeah. And Dragonfly Man is up on the walls, and Dragonfly is like, "Why don't you escape?" And he's like, "No, I'm waiting for him to divulge his top secret."
Yeah,
you know.
He says, "Why don't you use some anti-manacle cream or something?"
But then he eventually does escape, because what does he build into? He builds into his gloves. Heat melting something or another. And I'm like, it's so Batman 66, but more.
This was good. This explains a lot of the history of these Earths and kind of stuff I've been waiting to read, you know, for a few years now.
Yeah. Especially the number one Prime guy explained his backstory, where he's going, what he did. And he's like the savior of Earth Zeta.
Yeah, and how he advanced Earth Zeta beyond what the other two Earths have accomplished.
Yeah. And he admired both Alpha and Omega for certain things and stuff like that. And towards the end, they bring in Stinger.
Yeah, Stinger shows up. He brings out Stinger on one of the last few pages. And this is Dragonfly Man's Stinger,
yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And the last page here, he says, Stinger says, Dragonfly Man, who's that in your old costume?
So he's totally confused who the real Dragonfly Man is.
Yeah.
Because he got used to the new Dragonfly being Dragonfly Man.
And I like this part here where Dragonfly Man asks Dragonfly, "You didn't kill anybody on my Earth, did you?" And he says, "And the only Triviac and Chef Escargo."
So let me ask this: the art looks good.
The art's fantastic.
Are they in like a phantom zone or something, or does the guy just not like to draw backgrounds?
This is Earth.
Yeah, I'm
Zeta,
not sure. Where,
so I'm yeah, not sure, I'm not but sure on Earth Alpha exactly or Omega, are. There are more backgrounds. And Prime One is the guy that developed the mirror to go in between Earths and stuff like that. So they expanded.
Okay, so
upon
the white
mirror.
Backgrounds are like maybe in
maybe
in between.
It's just I think it might be his headquarters okay. Where they're at, and he's like being captured because usually there's other backgrounds and stuff. So,
yeah.
But the book's a lot of fun. I laughed.
Yeah, this is Jamal Igel on. All right, I was getting a real Steve Dillon vibe a little bit from this,
mm-hmm.
from this art, the late Steve Dillon. Okay, that was really good. And the other one I just read was Black Hammer Visions, number 2, by the old Flash team of Jeff Johns and Scott Collins.
Yeah. I'm not a huge Scott Collins fan, but his artwork was okay in here.
He can be very hit or miss sometimes, depending on what he's doing.
He's changing his style, and it's evolving. It's getting a little bit better. His line art's getting better. But the story, to me, I don't know if it seemed like you, Dave, was just like a basic horror story.
Yeah. I thought this was going to be a Madame Dragonfly story.
I did, too.
And I'm reading on, when are we going to get to Madame Dragonfly? But it's about the origin. It's the origin of a new character, Kid Dragonfly.
Yeah.
Who?
What? Wait a minute.
Yeah.
You're in the wrong book, Dave. You're confusing things. You read them too quickly.
No.
Look,
he's right.
Dragonfly's in this book. Oh, Dave.
That's Kid Dragonfly right there.
Crazy. Dave just likes Dragonfly.
Apparently, it's an all Dragonfly like, week.
Those are the two I picked to read here from last week. But this kid is.
You didn't have time to read more?
Okay. That's all. I'm sorry. But some of this was pretty cool. Some of this was pretty cool. It's that this kid is tied up in the back of this van.
He's abducted, yeah.
And escapes into, I guess it's called the Cabin of Horrors, which is Madame Dragonfly's lair.
Yeah.
Is that supposed to be like the Justice League Dark House?
There's all these runes. There's all these doors, and he goes through the doors and. Oh. Guy tries to kill him with
yeah,
an axe.
Yeah, please don't pull that.
It's off.
It is, yeah. The old open sign had a little pull chain to turn it off, and this one has a little thing on the cord, and Mike grabbed the cord and pulled.
Where's your little medical or bracelet thing?
It's in the box when I cleaned off the table.
Yeah, but isn't that the remote for that?
I haven't set it up yet. Somehow I have to hit one of those buttons.
And the other thing too, Dave, it didn't give any reason why she converted him into Dragonfly.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just like,
yeah,
oh, I don't have any family left. Okay, we're going to do this.
Let's make you a monster.
Yeah, and
yeah,
I'm like, okay.
We don't get to know the kid. Just in the end, I just read it, but there's not too much background on the kid to get us to care about what happened to him, except for his, you know, other than his mother. His mother down here, but I like the drawing of Kid Dragonfly. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry, Colin. That's all I read.
That's fine. Next week, I expect better.
I'll do better next week.
It's all right. Joker, number 1.
I read that.
I read that.
How was it? So, The book itself was not bad. However, the Joker did not show up.
Well, until... that's because it's not a Joker book.
That's my problem with it. It's not what really a Joker book. It's
Commissioner
a
Gordon book.
And that's fine. That was the disappointing part. I was
it's a Commissioner Gordon book about the Joker. But if the book was titled Commissioner Gordon...
Or, you know, Hunt for the Joker or something like that, would have been fine. But I expected Joker hijinks or, you know, whatever.
We want some Joker fish.
That would have been fine, too.
We got Joker gals.
The premise of the book is that Gordon is going to be hired... Well, first, he talks about the story of when he leaves Chicago, and one of the old cops there asks him, you know, has he met his devil yet? And, you know, Gordon's like, I don't know what the hell you're talking about, dude, you're crazy. And the cop discusses a cannibal killer, and, you know, whenever he closes his eyes at night, that's who he sees. And at that point, Gordon had not run into the Joker yet, but now the Joker is his devil. So after A-Day, which is
by Tim,
when the Joker presumably uses a Joker toxin, a new Joker toxin, to kill 500 patients and staff in Arkham, and then runs off to Belize. And Gordon is hired to kill him for $25 million. And... you know, that's as far as we've gotten at this point.
Do you know who hires him?
No, I don't know who the character is. At first I thought it was Silver St. Cloud, but it's not.
No, it's a very anonymous. Rich, yeah. Young, what was the name she used? I forget the name, but it was very hoity-toity.
Yeah. And then it had a backup punchline story, which was stupid.
I didn't even bother reading it.
I like that I like Harper Row as a character, so I like that, you know, they're trying to include her into it, but it just wasn't great.
There was a backup story in Nonstop Spider-Man that I started. I'm like, what? No.
Well, the backup is better than the book.
Well, it might have been, but it made no sense because it was a Baron Zemo story in the back of a Spider-Man book. I'm like, what the hell is this?
You don't think of Zemo when you think of Spider-Man?
No.
I mean, other than the purple mask instead of the red and blue mask, they're pretty much the same guy.
Fair enough. I didn't think about that way. And Spider-Man with his big sword.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you got me. Okay. Sorry. Continue. What? Sorry about that.
Sorry.
Man.
We got to get Mike hooked up. Something. He's broken.
We can get him a dog. He's broken. Get him a dog and some peanut butter. I'll be all right. The Joker book was not bad. But I was disappointed by it. I'll put it that way.
Gotcha.
Just because I expected something else. I'll tell you a book I was not disappointed in at all. Maniac in New York.
No, okay. Didn't get to it yet.
It was awesome.
So good. Harry.
He's named Harry.
Yeah, his name's Harry.
Named Harry.
killer. Yeah. So what was cool about it is like it starts off with, you know. This person just found out they got accepted to college, and this person, you know, was hand delivering his last mortgage.
They're all having great days, but
they were on the wrong train at the wrong time, and you know, Harry wipes them out. Look, this book isn't for everybody, and I get that, but this book is exactly what Jason Takes Manhattan should have been. So if that's what you're looking for, this is it. You have the
homicidal maniac,
the maniac Harry squad, the woman that's in charge. You know, it's her. You know, she's trying to track down what his weaknesses are, and he apparently is weak to fire.
Yeah,
but that's the only weakness he has.
Who doesn't? You know.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you set anybody on fire, which is actually the opposite of Jason, who his is water, but, you know, whatever. It's a fun book. Yeah. Like, don't take it seriously. That's not what it's about. It's just have fun. It's like it's watching a slasher movie, but in comic book form. And it's just a lot of fun.
He basically attacks and kills all these people on the mayor's
automated train
system, which is brand new, and like it is just the cluster going off. Because these people are completely trapped.
But what I loved about that is he's like, don't stop the train, no matter what. And they're like, well, we don't want to lose the train. He's like, I don't care about the people. We can't be the one to lose the train and let
and
Harry get
that.
Away.
The mayor of New York says that.
It's like, if they just keep the train going until we can figure out how to get them, then we'll be okay. So it's like, okay. That's different. Redemption, number two.
Yeah, I read that.
Okay. Interesting. You know, it's... I don't know how to classify it. It's not really steampunk Old West, but it kind of is.
Would it be like cyberpunk? Then?
Yeah, kind of like cyberpunk, I guess. But you have the butcher helps I forget the character's name. Her mother is Inez, who was like the town doctor, and as we find out, was actually lovers with the butcher at one point. And you know, the butcher is every much the, you know, the cliched old gunfighter who just wants to be left alone, but she does have a cybernetic hand and
two.
Yeah, but the one, like, I guess the cybernetic hand is what activates her guns. So that other people can't use her guns against her. But her tech is like really old and falling apart too.
Like Mike. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
old guy fight.
Yeah.
He started it.
Taking her canes out, whacking each other with them. It's a decent story. It's fun. And now the posse is being gathered so that they can go after the butcher.
Yeah.
So we'll see where this heads. Because it's very much, you know, the typical. The pastor is corrupt, and he's the one that's running the town. And, you know, if anybody does something against him, he takes out their family. And yeah. It's cliched. It's nothing we haven't seen before.
But it's done well.
Yeah, it's very well done. Let's see. Rorschach.
I read that.
Yeah, I thought it was okay.
What number are we on?
Six.
Or six.
Is that 12 too?
Yeah, 6 to 12.
It'll be done 24.
The way this book was written, it was essentially a series of letters between the guy that created Pontius Pirate and the
cowgirl.
Yeah, cow. I don't. What is her name? It's Liz, but I mean, what is her character name? But it's basically a series of letters. You know, first she starts off as a fan, and, you know, then she talks about how, you know, her life's been hard and she wants to kill herself. And every time, like, they keep going back and forth, and, you know, eventually it's, well, let's meet. You know, they hug, and, you know, everything is right with the world, I guess. And you know, she's getting set on her path to take out Turley.
Yeah. The Columbo guy was given this box of letters, and we're kind of learning about it as he reads them.
So, yeah.
But we don't know who gave him that box. That's kind of a mystery.
So. But, you know, it was a slower paced issue than the last couple ones have been. I think the last couple ones have been a little bit better, too. Mm. But it... I guess this is the lull before it takes off.
Yeah, Tom King's doing Tom King's thing where he does it all in, you know, out of order, just gives you pieces.
Yeah.
So you can put it together at the end.
And the last one I read was Scout's Honor number 3.
I have it, but I haven't read
it yet. I was saying, Dave, read Scout's Honor if you haven't read it yet.
But go ahead, talk about it.
Okay.
Please.
So let me ruin it.
It's okay to ruin it.
Everybody dies.
Yeah. So, you know, Kit, who is our main character, and her buddy, who doesn't know that Kit is a her, have both been chosen to go for the Eagle Guard trials. And, one of them is that they're fighting these giant dragonfly monsters. And one they get thrown into a well with, basically they're injected with something, so they're tripping, and they get thrown into a well, and, you know, they have to survive, and then finally there's, like, the gauntlet, which is, you know, a steel cage match. So Kit wins, and Kit becomes part of the Eagle Guard, and once that happens, she is able to find out that, the Eagle Guard killed Dr. Hutchins way back in the day. She was able to verify that, and as she does so, the Scoutmaster and some other Eagle Guards show up. She also finds out that the Scouts have been selling weapons to the Highwaymen who killed her father. So he's like, you know, Kit, I'm so disappointed in you. You know, you're being sentenced to death, and that's where it leaves off. But it's been a fun story. So highly recommend that book. Another Aftershock one. What's nice about Aftershock is they're typically shorter.
Mm-hmm.
So. Mike, what'd you read?
Do you remember what you read, Mike?
Where am I? What?
What? Where am I?
I'm gonna start off with worst to best.
Worst to best?
So I read this book, Carmen Number One.
Okay.
Oh, I read that.
San Diego?
One of the worst books I've ever read.
Oh, I liked it. I thought it was...
I feel like you have that at least once a week. You have, like, yeah. Once a week it's the worst book you've ever
Hold
read.
On. Let's start off with why it sucked for me. As a person of over 50, I wear bifocals. It's the smallest font known to man.
Yeah, no, you're totally right.
Okay, so it's super hard for me to read and follow and just get into it. So I'm, like, aggravated by this. And it's basically like a Sixth Sense book of, like, there's an angel, she's rescued this woman that just died, and she's going to kind of, like, fly around naked.
Oh, see, I didn't think she was an angel.
That's what the thing says she is. She's an angel.
Well, I think that's a mislead. I think she's death.
Okay.
What? Death is like an angel.
Yeah,
the angel of
but
death.
It was so hard for me to read. I had no idea what was going on. And I was just like, oh, this is not good. You could tell me why you liked it because you could probably read it.
So you just looked at the pictures. Snapper? You didn't read any of the words.
So it's a story. We first meet this, like, little girl, and she has this crush on a guy with a weird name. It's like, Zandri or something like that. So anyway, they show her, you know, meeting this guy, and then she's kind of like put in the friend zone, and then he has a girlfriend who doesn't want him to see her anymore, and we don't see it happen, but it seems the indication is that, like, this guy stopped talking to her because his girlfriend didn't want him to,
and she kills herself.
So she kills herself. In a bathtub while her roommate's in the other room. And we don't see her kill herself, but this, I would say it's death. This death angel kind of just walks in. The door opens right up for her. She walks by the roommate. The roommate seemingly acknowledges her, but that seems to be like she has, like, some kind of, like, reality manipulating thing, and she goes in and basically it's very much like Ghost, right? Yeah. So she goes in there and she's talking to her, and, you know, she's saying, oh, you don't have to put clothes on because nobody's gonna be able to see you.
So
then she tries to, like, pick up her cell phone, and she can't interact with anything. Yeah. And then from there she basically just kind of takes her out into the afterlife and is starting to show her around, and you know, she's, you know, shows her, oh, if you can imagine it, you can do it, so you can fly. And then so she kind of teaches her to fly, and she's like, I'll be back for you later. And then, but it seems like I think this is going to turn into a much more of a horror book.
That's what I was kind of hoping for the first issue, and it just didn't.
But it's
the art was beautiful. It was gorgeous art, but
yeah, the font is really bad, though. Because I started reading this in low light, and I put it down because I was like, I'll read this in the
daylight. It was microscopic.
Yeah, it was really hard to read.
And I just didn't understand what was going on. All I saw was a naked lady flying around.
Yeah. Okay. This is.
And you had a problem with that?
Yeah, this is the most naked lady I've, I think, in like.
In a long time.
Yeah.
It's did you get the Monaro cover? There was. There was a Milo Monaro cover.
I don't know.
I read this. I loved it. I can't talk about it. It's Sweet Tooth number 5 because it has a great spoiler and I can't ruin it for Dave.
Okay.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
It was awesome and it's very unexpected what happened, so I'll go from there. Daredevil number 28 I really liked. So it's the follow-up of King Black thing and whatever. And Elektra's watching over the little girl. The little girl's all damaged. We go back to the jail. Murdoch slash Daredevil was meeting with a psychiatrist. He's saying he's not damaged. He doesn't have any problems. And Matt slash Daredevil is in lunch. And this guy that comes up to him, he's done, what, two murders? And he's looking for somebody to basically protect him. And then Matt's like, I don't have time for this. I don't need to talk to this guy. Basically because Matt's the guy that put this guy in jail. And he didn't want to have anything to do with him. And then we find out later that this guy ends up killing himself because he had no protection. He just wanted to get out. And then basically Murdoch breaks down and realizes and talks to the therapist, I do need help. I am damaged. Anything else, Colin?
I didn't read it, so I don't know.
You didn't read
it? I didn't. I only read a few this week. I didn't get to it. I'm sorry.
On those two,
I'm sorry. We'll revisit next
week. Did the issue after
This is the first one after
King and Black. And I liked it a lot. It was good.
Was the issue after like Daredevil became a symbiote?
Yeah, and you're laughing.
Did that get any better?
Yes, it got much better.
Okay, that's good.
The one I liked the most was Proctor Valley Road number 1 from Grant Morrison from Boom Studios. So it's these young girls set in like 1970s. I think it is 1970. Mm-hmm. And they're all trying to get money to go to see the Janis Joplin concert. And they need $8 a ticket. So everybody's trying to do odd jobs. They're trying to steal things and sell things, blah, blah, blah. So they come up with this great idea to take these three young boys from town out into the desert and say, hey, we'll tell you ghost stories, making it all up. So they say, was it $5 a head? And they go out and take them into the desert. And the guys are like, oh, this is all BS. We're not paying you anything. And they kind of wander off. And lo and behold, some kind of werewolf thing disembowels this dude. And they just all start getting murdered. And the girls are like, did you hear that? Did you hear that? And they're not really quite aware of what's going on. So they kind of like, well, we're done waiting, guys. When are you coming back? And the guys never come back. So the girls go back to town, and on the back of the van, there are these hand paw slash prints of like blood and everything going on. So there is actually something in the desert killing things. I thought it was awesome. The artwork was really cool. Did anybody else read it?
Which one?
Proctor Valley Road.
Oh, no. I started it.
Sorry. I think you sold out of that one before.
I did. I sold out real quick. Yeah.
It was really, really enjoyable. It was a lot of fun.
But did they get the money to go to the concert?
No, because the guys wouldn't give them the money because they said, this is all BS. And they kind of walk away all mad and they get disemboweled and murdered. And we don't know by what.
That's what they get for not paying.
Yeah. So that's all I got.
I'll go with Jenica, her second series. It's like the next to the last issue.
Number 4.
Yeah.
I read it.
No, number 5.
Is it 5?
Yeah. This one, Jenica's, you know, she's still been trying to do like the passing the notes between the mom that's stuck in Mutant Town and her son. But it keeps on getting more difficult because security is getting amped up each time.
She's a former mob boss.
Right? Yeah, her husband ran a mob who Jenica killed while she was still like an assassin for the foot before she got turned into a total. And she also did it in front of the kid that she's now like trying to help.
Friendly with, yeah.
Yeah, And then, so when she shows up, they attack her, and she ends up taking the kid and bringing him back to Mutant Town to meet with the mom. And then the mom wants her to be like an enforcer for her.
Her own personal assassin. And Jenica says no.
Yeah, and then they get into a fight, and they knock her out or something right there. They are able to.
Yep, she gets knocked out at the very end, is laying there.
And then also in the fight, the kid starts to realize that like the way, because the way she was fighting was the same way that
the assassin. His kid is dead.
So he's kind of putting together that it was her. So I like this second story in this mini series other than the first story with like the monster.
The bigger monsters.
Yeah,
and stuff
like that.
Monsters, yeah.
Amazing Spider-Man. So this is the issue where Spider-Man gets that new
costume.
New costume. And the reason is because he is going to work for the same company that Jonah's working at now, that Nora, I forget her last name, but it was in the previous Spider-Man series. She's like running like a news kind of station kind of thing. And so they're outfitting him with this suit that has like that will like record like everything and stuff while he's fighting, so people can kind of get like his point of view as he's, you know, fighting criminals or swinging through the city and stuff like that. And it's all like, it's only recording like whenever, you know, he says it's going to be recorded. The only persons that are going to see it is Peter, because that's why they're hiring him at the company. It's kind of like a go-between them and Spider-Man, not knowing that, you know, he's actually Spider-Man. So the only people that's going to, like, see the footage and have control of it is Peter and Jonah, who, you know, who knows his secret identity and stuff like that. So that's the main gist of the issue. And then the other kind of side story is that Kingpin is getting to have all the different like mob bosses together and having a meeting, and offers a get out, like a literal get out of jail free card to the person who can bring him Boomerang in. Because him and Spider-Man are finding the pieces of the life tablet that the Kingpin wants to use, I think, to bring his wife back to life and stuff like that. But so now they have like the whole like underground force kind of gunning at them now too. Batman Urban Legends. This had a couple stories in it. The lead off story was a Red Hood story, and it was pretty good. Chip Dzoski was writing it, and it's there's this new drug going on in Gotham, and it gives people, like, it's kind of like an ecstasy kind of like euphoria kind of drug. But it's kind of, it like lasts like a really long time to when people aren't like paying attention. Like they're just like walking out into like traffic or like falling down like, you know, like stairs and stuff, because they're not, you know, they don't even know where they're at and stuff like that. So Red Hood's trying to track it down, and he finds about this dealer who's like doing a good amount of it. When he goes up to their apartment, he's not there. His wife or girlfriend is in a coma from the drugs, and their son is there trying to wake her up and stuff. So he gets a hold of an Oracle and is trying to trying to get the kid help and stuff, but. He brings him with him though, because they have an address of where he works, and there was this cool scene where Yeah, because like how the new Red Hood, he has like that bottom half of the mask thing that comes off. So he gives that to the kid to wear so he could be like a superhero. And then also, too, if anything happens, he can just, he told him to, like, you know, if anything happens, just
lead with your jaw.
Just say no, like, help me, Oracle, because it'll have, like, you know, and stuff like that. But he ends up killing the kid's dad because the dad ends up being, like, a real jerk. Because, like, whenever he brings up about the wife dying and the kid and stuff, he's like, I don't know. He's like, I don't care. He's like, let her die. I don't, you know. And the kid's annoying or, you know, something like that. So he ends up shooting him because throughout the rest of the story, he was just using, like, rubber bullets on people. And there was a couple other, like, there was, like, an outsider story that was okay. Some of them, there was, like, a couple just one-off stories, and there was a couple, like, I think, like, the Red Hood story is, like 1 of 5, and, like, the outsiders is, like 1 of 3 and stuff like that, so. But, I mean, it was okay for it. I mean, it was a little bit more expensive, but, like, the stories were good enough that I thought it was
That was a thick one.
Yeah, that it was a good enough bargain, and the qualities of the stories were pretty good. I'll go with Non-Stop Spider-Man
number 1.
I read that.
Yeah.
I did too.
I liked it. The beginning of it, I definitely felt like it got better as it went on. I don't know if there's like a new inker or colorist or something, because the art just kind of looks like just a little off for
Well, half of it was diagonal.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of splash pages, a lot of
words.
Yeah.
Was it nonstop?
It was.
No. Yes.
Yeah.
No, yes. It never started.
Yeah. It just was like do 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 do. Oh, do 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 do.
On the third page of this, I was thinking, like, this is the worst Spider-Man book I've ever read. Like, it was, I did not enjoy it.
Adam made a point that, he texted me, he didn't like it either, but he said, the problem is, they introduce two new characters, one of whom dies, and another one something happens to. It's like, but you don't care, you don't know who these people are.
I can't even identify them.
Yeah.
They just look like shapes.
Yeah.
I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
At one point, he jumps through a window, and then for some reason, like, the ceiling falls in.
Well, he jumps through the window, and he's hoping the girl's okay. Well, she would have been okay if he didn't jump through the window. You know, it's just, yeah, it was just, and then the bad guys are following him. It was just, I did not like it.
It's very convoluted.
Yeah.
But the backup story.
See, I started, and I'm like, Baron Zemo? And I stopped.
I saw
Baron Zemo. I said Baron Zemo in a Spider-Man book, and I go, I don't care.
The backup story is great. So, Baron Zemo is like in this like Hydra board meeting, and he wants to take over Hydra, and there's this one guy who like is opposing him, and he's talking about how like, you know, Zemo's not the guy, and so he's like, you know, it should be me who takes over. And Zemo's like, oh really? And he and then stabs him, and then the whole because Zemo's point is, Hydra, because every time you cut off a new head, you get two more, they have gotten to the point where they are so big that they are unwieldy, right? There's no structure. So all of these guys start attacking Zemo because he just stabbed this dude. So Zemo kills all these guys except for two, and then he cuts the first guy who opposed him, he cuts his head off.
And two grew out of his neck?
Well,
okay.
And then he's like, he leaves two guys, and he's like, you know, you two are going to be the ones who are going to support me, and we're going to restart Hydra. So it was a really good thing, because it was Baron Zemo kicking butt.
I was waiting to see if they were going to get any flack for the Nazi pleas.
Oh.
You know, for that.
Well, there was another one, I think. It was either in that book or in The Children of the Atom, where somebody flips somebody else off.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just like, wow, that's interesting in a Marvel comic. Wow. Okay.
I mean, comic code, you can do that.
Yeah. Well,
I didn't have a problem with it, but I just thought that was a funny line.
That is the kind of thing where I think people didn't read it. Yeah. Otherwise, it would have been like a big deal. And, you know, Marvel references Nazis or something like that. But, no, the backup was immensely better than the main story. But it's the kind of thing where they're not going to do anything with it. It's a it's like clearly a throwaway.
Yeah.
Right? It's not like Baron Zemo is going to be, you know, the big bad in the Cap book coming up or anything like
non-stop
that.
Non-stop Baron
Zemo. Well, I mean, if you read that page before that, they said that backup story is supposed to introduce the villain for the main for the series. So, mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm not sure how that's gonna work.
I didn't read that like text page after that. I was just like, ugh.
Wait, so you read all the ones for the X-Men, but you won't read?
No, I don't read them for the X-Men either. The X-Men, I'll skim them, and they're rarely relevant to anything.
Oh, but that was the last thing I read.
Okay. ENIAC.
Read that. Oh, wait, I can add that to the list since we didn't talk about it last week. Yeah, because we couldn't.
So I really like this. The art was great. The story was well-paced. There's two characters that are like secret agents that are introduced, and so they're doing some spy stuff and you know, assassinating some people, and then they get called to a beach and they have to leave their car.
I thought it was almost the desert.
Yeah, like the desert or something. Yeah. They
beach is the desert, just with water.
Yeah, I don't know. No water. The guy had a beach.
That might be a new title.
He had a beach tent.
He had one of those, what do you call it? Umbrellas.
Yeah.
He had a big beach umbrella. So it looked like the beach to me.
Okay.
But anyway.
I would think that the ocean would be the clear indicator that it's a beach. Otherwise, it isn't really just
but
a
desert. But it's a beach umbrella. So anyway, they have to leave the car, walk naked to meet this guy who, what was
Secretary of Defense.
Secretary of Defense. So imagine Dick Cheney naked with these two...
thank you
female
for that.
Under no circumstances will I ever imagine Dick Cheney naked.
Sitting under a blanket. And he tells them the origins of ENIAC and how... Why they have to meet like this is because
ENIAC
is so...
a computer developed in the 1945s.
Right.
That developed the system for making the atomic bomb.
Yeah.
Basically sounds like, I looked at it as the, from War Games.
It felt like War Games. It felt like OMAC, because ENIAC is basically watching everybody. Yeah. And
so Brother
everything.
Eye.
Yeah. So, I liked it, but it wasn't completely original, and I like the story that they're trying to tell, because ENIAC seems to have taken control of all the nukes of all the world.
But I think this is where... all the hype for it kind of does it a disservice, because I don't think, yes, it was a good first issue and everything, but I don't believe it leads up to the hype that was brought up with, you know, everything that's been going on with, you know, the bad idea.
Issue 2 and 3, we'll see. But my biggest thing was reading a book that's supposedly worth $200 million. And I'm going,
not million.
No,
I read it like a normal book. I couldn't give a shit.
I'm like, are my fingers clean?
See, I licked each page as I turned it.
I bet you put other stuff on it, too.
And then I put it back on the shelf so somebody bought that.
Well, like I said, as long as you don't plan on selling in like the next like couple weeks, you probably will, because after that, it's probably just going to go back down to, you know, a reasonable price.
That literally freaked me out. I'm like, I saved it for last. I'm like, I'm reading a comic book that's like going through the roof on eBay. And I'm just like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
But to Spencer's point, it's kind of like a, you know, superhero movie. Like, it just doesn't quite live up to the hype, because the hype's like so big. And it was good. It was a good comic. It just wasn't.
I think that's like kind of what happened with the Wonder Woman movie. It was again delayed and everything. Yeah. Like, if it were just got released.
That movie was bad.
Well, I don't know. I haven't ever got around to watching it yet. You know, but.
But I think it didn't live up to the hype, because the first Wonder Woman movie was so good.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Nothing.
What'd you do?
Slurpee. No, didn't smell nothing.
What'd you do?
Didn't smell nothing.
Okay.
Homesick Pilots number 4.
No.
Didn't read that?
No. You want to wait till next week? You don't have to, but...
No, there's not much to talk about. It just kind of... it's a big battle issue.
Okay.
So, honestly, this issue felt paced, like, very differently than the rest of the series. Is this a 4-issue? Is this?
I don't know.
Cause this
I want to say 6, but I don't know.
This could be the end of it. Like, they could stop here and leave it kind of on a cliffhanger.
But it was pretty good. Let's see. Space Bastards number 3. Didn't read that one.
This one was really good.
So we see at the beginning, we see Proton deliver a package, and then the unicorn guy blows up the building that he's in after the package is delivered, which is like against the rules. So the unicorn guy, what's his name? Manicore? He gets suspended for 24 hours because he blew up the building, murdered, we think, Proton, and broke the rules. So he's all bent out of shape and he's mad at Proton still. And then we see somehow Proton is in this like healing bath, and there is a I'd call it courier, right? There's a courier there to take him to another hospital. So he gets out of this thing and he's a package now. So he's like checked in to this courier's. She has to deliver him to the hotel. So he's like, "What? I'm a package now?" And she's trying to do that. Manticore's upset and goes to a whorehouse because he's suspended for 24 hours, so he can't go hunt packages. And he meets two other couriers there, one of which is this like green blob guy who just keeps making these like really crude, like funny comments where he's like, "I'm gonna go spread my seed now," and like, "I'm gonna make sperms," and it's a very very adolescent humor. But they run in with Proton and they're trying to like, you know, get back, and so Manticore is trying to do this, and there's some the switching hands of the package, and then eventually he gets there to the hospital. So it's really good issue, really fun. It's just a really funny book, so I've been enjoying it. Immortals number 3. Anybody read that? Okay.
This Immortals?
What's that?
Eternals.
Thank you. Eternals number 3.
Yeah. No, I'm just like
Immortals. So
they're all in my pile. Just
they introduce another Eternal. Thera? Athena? Something? I have no idea. She's a blonde. She's living like under the sea with these other people. And then what's his name? The blonde guy.
Icarus
is like protecting this kid from really big hail, and he's shooting all this hail out of the sky to protect this kid, and it's like, I have no idea what's going on in this book. It's very, the art is good, but like, it started with Thanos, and now Thanos isn't in it at all, and I'm completely lost. If this is meant to be like the introduction for people to the Eternals before the movie, like, it's not succeeding, because I can't track the plot at all. Maybe if you sat and read it, you know, straight through, it'd be better, but I'm underwhelmed with this issue. So the first two were okay. So that's it for me.
That's it. Okay.
Bring it home, Colin.
I got a lot of disappointment, and I'm sorry. But so we have Superman 29, which is the start of the new post Bendis, the new writer coming on. Phil Hester art, who had done one of that winter, Endless Winter issues. Phil Hester did Kevin Smith's Green Arrow run. Very stylistic art, very minimalist art.
Family tree. But that's like, it only has one issue yet left.
But
done.
So he's doing Superman. The problem there is his art is very minimal, And like I said, stylized, which Superman really kind of shouldn't be. It should almost be like a house style.
Yeah.
And it's not. The other problem I had with it, it was all these two-page splashes with just spot words. It's like Superman, my dad, the hero, turn the page. He is so good, turn the page. It was like, I'm like, it was a four-page story. And the whole thing, the whole basis of the story is, well, there's something where, like, what's the Suicide Squad lady is supposedly there's this thing in outer space, and she's letting people, things in, and that they're not supposed to get in, and Superman is going to fight him, but he's getting weaker because they're starting to beat him. And John is getting very upset because when he was with the Legion in the future, he learns that his dad dies. So now that he's back with his dad, he's doing everything to keep him from dying. It's like, well, yeah, bud, but everybody dies. But okay. And that was literally like the entire issue.
He would also know when his father dies.
Right, but it was just like, I have to do everything to protect him. It's like, okay,
what if your interference is the thing which causes him to die?
Well, and if you remember in the Infinite Frontier special, it said that John becomes the great evil in the universe, so. Okay, so not a fan of that one. Then there's Wonder Woman 770, where Wonder Woman wakes up in Valhalla, and every day they fight and die, or if they don't die, they party, and then they wake up, and then, or if you died, you wake up the next morning alive, and you go and fight again. And that was the story. And I'm like, so basically she, and Thor's there. I'm like.
Right, but since when is Wonder Woman Norse?
Right. Thank you. It just, I'm like, so they made her Jane Foster in Asgard. Okay.
Or Valkyrie.
Right, but it just, I'm not a fan for your big new direction. It, you know, especially after the event where they wanted to join, in Infinite Frontier, they wanted to join the Pantheon. No, I'm going on to adventure. And this was it, where she's dying every day? Okay, sure. I
feel like the Tuesday releases is really hurting DC, at least for me, because I'm hearing about these books a day early, and what I'm hearing is not good.
Yeah.
So there's a bunch of books, like Wonder Woman was one that I was like, oh, maybe I'll check that out, and then I heard nothing good about it, and like
I sold out, and I'm not sad, you know? Good.
Dodge the
more
bullet.
Like yeah.
Phew.
Yeah.
So did these both have backups? So were they like shorter issues with backups?
Yeah, I think there was in the Wonder Woman it wasn't a Yara Floor story. It was like a young Wonder Woman. She was like a young girl riding a horse. I didn't read it. Yeah. I'm sure there was a backup. Oh, I know there was a backup in the Superman one cuz continuing in action cuz the same writer. I don't remember what it was though.
No.
I don't, you know. Stargazer 6, I really liked. No way to summarize it. It was a fun little miniseries from Mad Cave. Really different. And then the last one I read was Children of the Atom, which wasn't bad. It's about the X-Men sidekicks. But what it basically is, it was a little confusing in the beginning because you have new made-up good guys fighting new made-up bad guys. And you didn't know who was who and what was what and who was on what team. So that was a little tough. But it's these kids. And they have powers kind of equivalent to X-Men. You have Cyclops, Lady Cyclops, who has eye beams, Mr. Marvel, or Marvel Boy, or something like that. But it's like, well, it was Jean Grey, but as a guy, and he has mental powers. Another one is Daycrawler, who teleports, and another guy is like Angel. I don't remember what his name was.
Daycrawler.
Instead of Nightcrawler. They call him Daycrawler. Yes. And another guy. Who's basically like Angel, but he doesn't have real wings. But
they call him Devil.
I don't remember what they call him.
Let's see. Next, you know, it's gonna be Midday Crawler.
This sounds like it was inspired by gender bending cosplay.
No, but it's not. It's not. Hang on, we'll get there.
Okay.
So it's going along.
This was supposed to come out a while ago, wasn't it?
Yeah. So it comes out, and they kind of get confronted. Like they then teleport away, and then they're met by Magma, Maggot. And I don't remember who else, but some other C-list X-Men. And they basically talk to them, and then the kids go away, and they're like, that sucked. You know, don't ever meet your heroes, because that sucked. Then it goes into a little bit.
Maggot and magma.
Yeah, but then it goes into like them in high school, like they're all high schoolers and stuff like that going on. Then it goes back to the X-Men, and they're like, because they were trying to get them to come to Krakoa, and the kids didn't want to.
Okay, so they are mutants.
And the kids didn't want to. So then we go to the X-Men, and it's the X-Men. They're playing pool, Cyclops, and Wolverine, because that's all they do.
Sometimes maybe they do a lot more together.
Aurora and Nightwing, Nightcrawler was there. And they're talking about, this is weird, because Professor X can't even find these kids on Cerebro. We're not sure exactly where they are, yada, yada, yada. Then goes back to them. They're all there. They're standing outside a gate, all getting ready to go through. And then they walk through, and nothing happens. So they're not mutants. They're just, they must have costumes or something. So
yeah, because that was in the solicit.
What? That they weren't here? They weren't mutants? Because
the thing that and this was over a year ago, so I might be misremembering it. But the what I heard was that these were like fanboys of the X-Men who put on costumes.
That's all it is.
So. Which is why like it feels like a cosplay thing.
Yeah.
Because you just take every
but it wasn't like gender bending specifically. It was just they were a fan.
Marvel Girl becomes Marvel.
Right. No, I get that. Right. But they weren't
Nightcrawler
real.
Becomes Daycrawler. Like it's a third grader's deconstruction of it.
Yep. So that's all I got. I'm sorry. I failed you.
So what's coming on next week?
We have books. On? Well, there's this one. It's about a creature from outer space, and he's really evil, and he's black. Guess the name.
Black Evil?
It starts with an A. It's from Marvel Comics.
A Black Evil?
It's Alien.
Oh. And then actually it doesn't begin with an A. It begins with an X. They're Xenomorphs.
Yeah, Xenomorphs.
But the title is Alien. The title's not Xenomorph. That'd be crazy. Pat, you're losing your mind.
This is the first Marvel Alien book, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because they bought Fox, so they got Alien. We have Amazing Spider-Man 62, which is the second appearance of the costume. Barbalian Red Planet, the last issue of that's coming out, number 5. We have Berserker number 1. We have the foil variants are coming next week. The Grandpa and the Brooks in foil. So if you want it in foil, they're coming, which I love that they're coming in 3 weeks after the book.
And in foil.
Yeah. And sadly, half my order was these, so yeah, it's been great. Carnage Black and White and Black, White, and Blood number 1 is next week. We get Firefly Brand New Verse, which is, if you're a Firefly fan, it is the son of Wash and Zoe, or the daughter, and she is now running Flying the Serenity.
Oh, okay, the TV show.
Yeah, from the TV show. You have Ha Ha number 3. I really liked 1 and 2. King in Black Scream. No, he's not screaming. It's the character Scream in King in Black. Previews is next week, so previews orders due next Thursday, please. We have Savage Avengers 19 as a King in Black tie-in. We have Scumbag number 6. I'm behind. Stray Dogs number 2. I really like number 1. I am out of number 1, but Second Prince are coming.
I love that first Stray Dogs.
Yeah, Stray Dogs. I thought that was really good. The book you didn't even know you wanted, I think, was the solicit. Vampirella versus Purgatory.
Jesus.
And Year Zero number 5. And then from the other guys.
Our friends at the Distinguished Competition.
I feel like you didn't even know you...
Oh, man!
Oh, wow.
Oh, damn, Mike.
7 secrets, 7 to eternity.
Oh, he's knocking all the 7s down. What did you do? You threw a chicken wing out at the shelf. Spencer will get it. You just move along.
But the...
Before you have an accident.
God, what was that book? The book with all the colors. It came out last year. That was the same tagline for that. It was really colorful. Extra colorful. I'm sorry.
We were talking about DC?
When that fell off.
DC?
No, it was...
Because we started talking about DC and then you started...
No, it was like a manga book by Aubrey Citizen.
Yeah. Started with the N.
No fight left.
Yeah, something like that.
Was the exact same thing. The book you didn't know you ever wanted. Yeah. Or whatever. Yeah. Something like that.
Okay, so we have Action 1029 by the same writer, so I'm sure there'll be about 12 words in the book. Batman Black and White number 4. We have Batman Superman 16, which is starting off a new story arc. Batman White Knight presents Harley Quinn number 6. That's the last issue in that one. Deceased trade paperback. I'm glad they finally remembered to actually put this out. It's been a couple years. Detective Comics 1034 with the new creative team. Harley Quinn number 1 with the new creative team. And then Teen Titans Academy, which is going to be doing the Teen Titans story involving
Red X.
So that's what we got for this week. We hope you've enjoyed listening. So if you have any questions, it's the website's Pittsburgh Comics. The Facebook is Pittsburgh Comics. Twitter and Instagram are PGH Comics. And I'm going to our returning hero, Dave, would you take us out?
That's the podcast, and drive safely.
Very nice. Very nice. We'll talk to you next week. See ya.